Today's episode is just a few minutes of a recording that I made to a personal friend and brother in Christ named Jared, where I was led to share with him on the subject of apostasy. So the message kind of starts and ends abruptly, but there's a few thoughts in here that I hope will be a blessing and a sobering reminder to all of us about the real possibility of apostasy. I am clearly not the judge. I am not God. I cannot see anything that God does not show me or tell me about. But one thing that I know for certain by reading Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10 in my Bible and other passages is that a lot of people, particularly this late in the time frame of Christianity, fall away from faith in Christ. In 14 years of ministry, in answering and replying and having connection with and hearing stories of literally tens of thousands of people, it may be something I couldn't handle if God were to show me the truth about the spiritual condition of all of those people today. How many of them fell away? Brothers and sisters, I to this day will receive emails from people, if you will, screaming out to me in all capital letters to help them because they believe they have lost the presence and blessing of God. And some people become obsessed about getting an answer from God through me. And they may feel they're the only one who has felt this. But over the years, I have received so many of these emails that it is terrifying. It is shocking. And contrary to the story that we tell ourselves at a funeral, oh, Eddie, he's in such a better place now, although we all know he lived like the devil while he was here, I will not lie to myself and tell myself or other people that all of these people who are crying out about having lost their salvation and lost the presence of God, lost the Holy Spirit, is just a bad day. It's just a spiritual attack. With some people, no doubt. But the Bible says many multitudes fall away. And when you get emails like the ones I have received, I do believe that this gives me a very unique perspective on the body of Christ. I mean, think about it. If you could find a person who has received literally tens of thousands of stories from around the world, from every English-speaking walk of life in the world, and many who don't even speak English as their first language. It gives you a perspective, a temperature, like a thermometer in the mouth of the Christian body, and you get a sense worldwide of how things are going out there. What is the state? What is the health of the body of Christ? And it's devastating. But there's been nothing that's been more upsetting to me, knowing I can't do anything about it. And I know that there's been quite a number of people that have emailed me that have indeed fallen away, that are unrecoverable. The Bible says it's impossible for them to repent because to their shame, they are bringing disgrace upon the name of Jesus Christ again. I know there are people who have blasphemed the Holy Spirit, who God has cut off. And no matter whether they said something evil or did something evil to me or not, I tell you, it's a terrifying thing. I wish I could change it about God. I wish I could ask, and I want to be very careful about what I'm about to say. I feel the fear of God come upon me right now before these words come out of my mouth. But sometimes I wish it wasn't like this. Sometimes I wish God wasn't as severe as he is. Sometimes I wish it wasn't many are called, but only a few are chosen. Sometimes I wish that the broad way did lead to a large gate that opened up to eternal life, and that the way wasn't so narrow and the gate wasn't so small. I sometimes wish Jesus didn't say how hard it is for a man to enter into the kingdom of God. I wish the Bible didn't say in dozens of passages that you can fall away. I wish John the Baptist wasn't even concerned about falling away. I wish Jesus didn't have to say in John 16, when I've told you all these things so that you will not go astray. I wish he didn't say in Matthew 24, 12 and 13 that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. I wish he didn't have to say, be faithful even to the point of death. I wish more were going. I wish men like Jan Bischoff and Howard Pittman didn't have near-death experiences and come back and find out that the fraction of people that call themselves Christians actually make it. I wish the way was wider. I really do. I really do. I wish I could to talk to God about this. I really wish you'll hear me telling Jared a story about a pastor who turned universalism. And it was an absolute horrific thing. And Netflix did a feature-length movie about his life. And it's a real story. And when I watched it, I was shocked. I was devastated. I wish these things were not true, but because I love the truth, I must conform my thinking. I must humble my spirit to what the Word of God says. I either believe it like it is, or I do not. I cannot pick it. I cannot twist it. I cannot contort it into believing or making it say something it doesn't. That is one of the most difficult things about being a follower of Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters, is that there is so much in the Bible, in the Word of God, to be afraid of. Do you know that if you go back hundreds of years to some of the early outpourings of the Spirit in America, where there were a few spots of revival here and there, do you know if you go and you read the autobiography of men like John Wesley, you find out that sometimes when they were preaching the Word of God, that men came under such terror of their sin and such fear of hell and such reverential fear of God that they began to shake in their bodies and they began to fall to the ground and weep uncontrollably. They lost bodily function as the fear of God came upon them. Do you now see a match when the Bible says in Hebrews it is a dreadful thing, a terrible thing to fall into the hands of God? I wish it wasn't like this. I wish I could bring such a much happier message. I wish I could come and sing Kumbaya and follow the yellow brick road to happiness and tell you we live on Peachy Street in Georgia and everything's just going to be so fine. I wish I could sing a song that Lisa and I like to joke and sing, Blue Skies. I wish I could sing that to you. Are calling for me. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that there's a really good chance that you are going to fall away. Do you know that the Bible statistically says, if you're hearing my message, that there's more of a chance of you falling away, of you not making it, of you being only in possession of a counterfeit, of you not being an overcomer, of you not persevering to the end, than there is of you actually making it? Do you know that that's what the Bible says that nobody wants to see? I mean, when Jesus Christ himself says, my children, how hard it is for men to enter the kingdom of God. If Jesus said it, do you know how hard it is to enter into the kingdom of God? I wish it wasn't like this, but it is. Please take these warnings seriously. Please don't think I'm being radical or that I'm only focusing on the negative or I'm making Christianity harder than it is. Please read the Bible and find out that the Apostle Peter says, if it is hard for the righteous to be saved. Please hear that Jesus tells us we must strive and make every effort. Please see that Jesus says multiple times how hard it is to enter in, that we must agonize to enter in. Please see that the disciples are so shocked, they say, who, Lord, then can be saved? Please see that they're so dumbfounded, they say several times, not once, but twice recorded in Scripture, perhaps even more outside of Scripture. They said, Lord, are only a few going to be saved? Please We're playing for eternal life. Take it seriously. Take the warnings in Scripture seriously. Be careful. Err on the side of caution and live by faith as if this world is passing away into the fire and that there's a whole nother world waiting for you, that this is not your life, that you've been born again. Your life is now hidden with Christ, Colossians 1-3, and you are to set your mind and hearts on things above, where Christ Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I'd give anything if I could make this message more clear, if I could compel more people into the narrow pathway that leads to eternal life, if there were less people on a list that I have, it's in my heart, about family members and friends who won't listen to us. I really wish that that list was shorter. I wish I didn't have that list. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I have been crying like this for 14 years. And for some reason, the Lord is having me cry more over your soul, over how many people are falling short of the glory of God and will fall short of entering into eternal life, and how many who will have listened to messages that came out of this ministry who dismissed it because of lies and evil suspicions that Satan cast upon the cross-carrying, self-denying, world-hating, faith-walking life that I live first and then preach second, in order to keep you from hearing and knowing the truth and coming out of the dark and coming out of the false, coming out of the power of Satan and into the power of light, into the power of truth and into the power of Christ. I really wish that list was a lot smaller in my mind and my heart. I wish some of you could see the torment that Lisa and I experience, especially our friends and family, if they could see the conversations, a bird in the tree, a fly on the wall, about the things that we say and speak about their life, knowing what's coming for them unless they change. But they're still asleep. They don't believe us. Somehow or another, they'll listen to a message like this and then a quick TV channel away, or a quick drink of a beer, or a quick visit to the gym, or a quick walk with the dog, or a quick whatever it is. We'll just wipe this message right out of their heart and they'll just keep on going asleep until only God wakes them up. Please. Please take this seriously. I promise you, starting with me, none of us are going to stand before Jesus Christ and ever think that we took this Christianity business too seriously. I practically can guarantee you by the Spirit of God in us that every single one of us will stand before Him and find out we didn't do enough. We shrunk back. We didn't go far enough. I can practically guarantee you, I remember a prophet named A.W. Tozer saying that when he died and he stood before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, the greatest fears were not him facing the sins of commission, but the sins of omission. Not the sins he committed, but the sins he omitted, the things he didn't do that he should have done. And that's a very striking word. May the Lord bless you to continue to listen, to continue to be on your knees in prayer before Him, to continue to take these messages seriously. I have a part of my life that's very enjoyable. But I will tell you, Lisa sees me behind closed doors where nobody else gets to see me. She sees me more often than you'll ever hear in these recordings, weeping over the condition of your soul or friends and family that we have in our life. And I can tell you, I've seen her do the same thing, where we may spend a half a day in absolutely a funk over what we know to be the damned condition of the souls of those we love. I'm pleading with you that you are going to stand before Jesus Christ, the one whose name is on your lips. You're going to stand before Him in bodily person. I'm going to stand before Him in bodily person. The King who says of those who didn't want him to be king over them, he says, bring them here and kill them in front of me. You read that in the book of Luke and you say, wow, that is not the donkey riding, sandal wearing, cloak wearing Jesus Christ. That's a different Jesus coming back. That's a different Jesus than you and I will stand before. May God help all of us, including us. We pray for ourselves first. We often realize that we are going to be held to a higher account because we're preaching this message. We're feeding this message to you. Please take it seriously. Again, we have an enjoyable part of our life, but so much of it is serious because the issue of people's eternal damnation or eternal salvation is so absolutely pressing and serious and final. May God help us all. May God help us all. Remember the lessons of the people that you've heard in this ministry who once loved me, loved the truth of God's word in my mouth, testified on video or in emails or letters about how God used this ministry to change their life, but who fell away. The number is increasing. You know, some names are popping into your head right now of people who once praised God for this ministry, who turned away and became an enemy of it. There have been spouses that have done that. There have been children that have done that. How much more, brothers and sisters, all over the world? Please take Jesus Christ and your judgment before him seriously. He can help you stand firm to the end, but you have to be cautious and be on guard and remain humble all the days of your life. May God bless you as you continue to listen. By the way, you know, Romans 11, 20 and through 22, you know, it speaks about, do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Speaking of them falling because of unbelief, but you stand by faith, provided you continue in God's kindness. Also, otherwise, you also will be cut off. So the fact that you have these fears, that real reverent fear, is a good thing as long as it doesn't go to the extreme. You know, there's the balance of a reverential fear of God, but also when God's love is made complete in you, and it is to him who obeys him, that love casts out all fear. And one who fears has not been yet made perfect in love. And truth is, neither one of us have, right? We're in process. We're moving more and more towards that. And I have found that I don't have that fear, you know, anymore. I haven't had that for years, brother. It's a wonderful thing to be free without that. But I have this reverential respect of God. And many times I find myself reading his word and I will tremble at it inside. I will read a word, but I'm not afraid of him. It's this, I don't know how to explain it. I'm sure you already know about it. It's just that it's a very regular part of my life. I don't ever live in the fear of, oh God, am I going to make it? Am I going to do? Not at all. You know, the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. And so that's gone, you know, and the reason is because of, you know, whoever obeys his commands, God's love is made complete in him. In 1 John, it teaches us this. So, you know, my concern for me and my position of humility now is that I stay the course. I have seen people like this guy last night fall away. And I've seen, you know, like what happened with my wife, and I've seen what's happened with many people that I've received emails from, brother. I mean, man, thousands. When I tell you I've received thousands of emails, man, it's way more than I could even possibly count. It doesn't even matter that I've posted, I don't respond to ministry emails. I still get them every single day. And over 6 years, I've heard so many people that have contacted me about, I once was in the faith and I fell away. And brother, I have to tell you, most of the time I believe them. I was tempted many times to believe my own tickle my ear message, which is that, you know, oh, God is long and merciful and you know, and all that. And yes, he is. I've seen in my own life. I mean, that's part of why he's having me tell my story, is to show how merciful. But brother, I'm telling you, I know many emails have come across my path where people have fallen away from the faith, as in literally fallen away. And, you know, it only makes sense. If we believe the Bible, then we have to believe that that actually does happen, and that Jesus's words, you know, in Matthew 11, 6, blessed is the man who does not fall away, because John the Baptist is on the verge of falling away as he's in prison for his faith. And Jesus is trying to encourage him. Don't fall away from the faith and telling everybody else as an example of John the Baptist, you know, blessed is the man who does not fall away. That means that is something that literally does happen and can happen in this physical life while we're alive. So I know I've come across many people that that has happened to. And I know it now more than I ever have known it because I know how easy it would be for me to fall away. I know it. I know it better than I've ever known it. I'm aware consciously of how things could change. Things can happen in the world. Things can happen in your life and circumstances. Messages can happen. Relationships can happen. Circumstances that contradict what you believe can happen, and that you can fall away from the faith. I believe I am exceptionally stubborn and exceptionally convicted and exceptionally strong in my faith. Okay? I believe more than most people. Honestly, and I think you would have no problem agreeing with that, and I know God agrees with that. And I know how easy it is for me to fall away. And so what scares me is to think to myself before God, Lord, if I know after all that I've done, and after all the fighting, and after all the dying to self, and after all the humiliation, and after all the loss of dignity, and all the loss of service, and the loss of everything, if I know how easy it would be for me to fall away, how much more will it be for other people who aren't fighting at the same level of the fight of faith that I am? You see, that is perplexing to me, men. So that's what keeps me more and more humble. I find myself in my prayers when I'm alone with God praying, oh God, please, Lord, don't let me fall away. Like, brother, I pray that prayer specifically as convicted and as outspoken as I am about the word of God and the truth and obedience and love. And I know, and I think to myself, man, God. Now, part of it is that also I get more attacks from the devil. The devil would like to see somebody like me fall more than he would like to see somebody who's following my channel fall, because I have more influence right now in the kingdom of God. So it's clear that the higher you climb, just as Tozer talked about in That Incredible Christian, the higher you climb, the more the devil is going to come after you. That he comes after, he says, you know, how does God know? How does the devil not know you're not going to be the next Charles Spurgeon, you know, or the next A.W. Tozer, or the next Andrew Murray? And the devil wants to take you out and destroy you and your influence. So I fight more devils like all the time. And anybody that's in ministry that is preaching the true gospel is going to fight a whole lot more devils. Plus, you're going to fight a whole lot more devils when you first come into the faith, or when you start to really set out and obey faith like God. You're going to fight more. Devils are going to come at you more to try to stop you from doing that. But it gets even more radical and more intense when you become a spokesperson for the Lord and you are known as a minister. It becomes intensified. So I recognize and I balance that with, you know, the weakness I feel in my ability to fall away because I'm attacked more and stuff like that. So anyhow, I'm humble about it. But this movie, first of all, I think you really ought to watch it. And I've been telling you that God has been warning me that the day is coming that in order to believe the true gospel, you're going to have to be seen as a complete babbling idiot. And there's this falling away that's happening. Now on Netflix, millions of people are watching this movie. And I went and researched the guy last night, and he's into this whole coexist universalism thing. He's part of a Unitarian church, and all people God is going to save. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I wonder why the guy thinks there's even a need for a Bible if God is going to save all people. What's the need to even go to a place called church, even if it's Unitary, if God is just going to save everybody in the end? Anyhow, don't get me started. I think you should watch the video because it's a sign of what, it's a true story, and it's in the media. It's on, you know, the guy has a real life, and it says he's growing. You know, his influence and messages is being greater received. So there is a huge falling away. And brother, there is a temptation. Even I can feel a temptation to want to believe the gospel is wider, that there's no way God could let starving kids in Africa who've never heard the gospel, or even starving adults who've never heard the gospel, go to hell, or people as nice as my wife's family go to hell. There's a part of me that in my human nature wants to believe, just as my dad once said, my God is a God of love. We so forget that God is so perfect that he is also
just. And God's justice demands punishment. Nobody on this earth in their right mind would ever look at a judge who's in the middle of Bronx and the guy who's been killing and shooting and drive-by gun capping people or road raging death people. Nobody in their right mind would look at that judge who says, I am so full of love. I love you. I just want to let you off. I just want you to know that I believe eventually you'll turn around and there's no need to put you in jail. You're going to be good. There's nobody on this earth that would look at that judge and say, oh, how loving and how merciful. No, we would throw that judge out so fast it would make your head spin. We would say you are unjust. You are unfit for the justice system. You're an abomination to this legal system, right? But see, we don't apply that to God. We think if God lets the criminal off, if God just lets everybody off scot-free, that God is somehow good and loving and just. What a horrible hypocritical contradiction of the human, thought life.